If Jesus be lifted up, he'd draw all men unto himself. That the Spirit of God is in this place, and if you don't feel it, there's something wrong. But I'm asking you this morning, before we ever get started, before the message is ever delivered, for you to get out of the way of him. For you to get out of the way and let the Spirit do what it needs to do in this service today. That he comes to seek and to save them which was lost. Those who feel like they fell away. Those who feel like that they're not significant in the eyes of people. But you mean something to him. That everything can change for you this morning. Everything can change for you today. Everything. But you must first get out of the way. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Before we get started, deny yourself. We can't do nothing in ourselves. I can't do nothing in me. There's no power in me. There's power in him. I allow him to come in. Come through those doors. Wreck this place. Set this place on fire. You can be lukewarm all you want. That's on you. You got to answer for him. To him, not me. You do. How you worship. How you act and react to him. It's on you. So this morning is your opportunity. That if you don't feel him like you used to, ask him to come. If you don't feel accepted, you don't hear his voice like you used to, ask him to come. We're here for you. You mean the world to him. You mean everything to him. You may not mean nothing to anyone else outside of these walls, but you mean the world to him. You mean the world to God because he sent his son to die on an old rugged cross that you could have relationship with him. That's what you mean to him. You mean everything. And this morning I want to talk about a scripture that's everyone should know about the story. Everyone knows about this story. I've never preached it. I'm asking God to move in a mighty and powerful way in this house. You can be quiet, and that's okay. I want you to receive. Ears to hear. To listen to his word. For his word to come into your soul and transform you from the inside out. Listen, I'm no theologian. I'm no powerful man. But I serve a powerful God. And he can lift anyone up who wants to be lifted up. He comes to dine with you today. That he's going to meet you at the well. And that's what we're going to preach on this morning is the woman at the well. The woman at the well will be John. John 4, 1 through 30. John 4, 1 through 30. 1 through 30, that's right, that's a lot of scripture. But stand up if you don't care and I'll try to go through it pretty quick. This is the longest story recorded of Jesus' conversation with anybody in the scriptures. But when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and parted again to Galilee, and he must need to go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then Jesus cometh to a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, "Give me to drink," for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is this that thou being a Jew ask drink of me, which am I a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast thou living water? And art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank therefore himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whoever drinketh this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinketh the water that I shall give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband, and call him, come hither. The woman answered, said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast five husbands, and whom thou hast in thy household is not thy husband. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, that the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father and in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in the spirit and truth. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, when he is called the Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this come his disciples, marveled that he had talked with this woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to men, Come and see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they all went out of the city and came unto him. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that we can receive your word, Lord. Let us receive it, Lord. Let it change our lives. Let it change us from the inside out, Father. Use this word to transform lives. Use this word to transform families. Use this word to transform the way we see ourselves through your eyes. Jesus, we praise you and thank you for your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. One through six, it says, When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had baptized more, it wasn't him who was baptizing, it was disciples, and he left Judea and parted again into Galilee, he must need to go through Samaria. John paints a picture in the first three books, or first three chapters of John. He tells the story of who he is. He's the man preaching in the wilderness. He's the one who's foretelling of the Messiah who's to come. But what's John say? John says, There's coming one who's greater than I, whose buckle I cannot strap, that I must decrease so he can increase. John has set the picture for Jesus at this moment. John has set the picture for what's to come. John is pointing to Jesus. We need to point to Jesus. We have no power in ourselves. We have no power in us. It's all in him. That we must decrease in our spiritual selves. We've got to decrease of this flesh and let the Spirit increase in our lives. That if we want to see him, we've got to decrease. And John is painting this picture that we have to get out of the way. And John is setting the picture for what's to come. That Jesus, the one who's going to save the world,
The one who was foretold about thousands of years before has come to the planet. That he come to seek and to save them which was lost. And this picture of the woman at the well is a great picture of salvation through our Lord. That salvation has come. That salvation has come through Jesus. That this woman is no different than us. You know, many times in my life, I felt insufficient. I felt like I've sinned too much, that I've done too much to go against Him, that I've walked in myself and walked in the flesh more ways than God could lift me up out of. But guess what? He's at the well. He's at the well. He's at the well for you this morning. If you really are struggling, if you're struggling with life, He's at the well. John paints the picture of the Christ that which is to come. And we've got to do the same, church. We've got to get out of the way, Terry, and point the world to Him. Just like John. John knew it wasn't about him. He knew it wasn't about me. But it's all about Jesus. All about Jesus. Life's transformed through Jesus. I can't change no one. No man can, but He can. But you got to be willing and ready to receive when He's there knocking at your door. And this morning, if He's knocking at your door, you need to come. I don't care if I'm preaching. I don't care what's going on. If you need to come, you feel the unction of the Holy Spirit, you come. Come. Jesus goes through Samaria. Jesus is on a mission. He leaves the talk of the Pharisees that's trying to blaspheme Him. Say He's of the devil, casting out demons and all these things. Jesus leaves Jerusalem to go through Samaria. If you don't know, Samaritans were outcast. They were not welcomed to the Jews. They were called half-breeds. That's what they was called. That the Jews, I think it's 700 B.C. I got it wrote down here. Yeah, 700 B.C., the Jews was cast out. And they had intermarriage with other nations. So these Samaritans are all half Jews and half whatever. But they was considered outcast. They wasn't considered welcome. No Jews should be talking to Samaritans. You shouldn't be talking to Samaritans. You shouldn't be talking to drug addicts. You shouldn't be talking to the prostitutes. You shouldn't be talking to those who don't feel welcome. That's what the world was telling them. That's what the world tells us today. That Jesus had a divine appointment. A divine appointment. He left the 99 for the one, and the one was her. She was the one. He went against custom, which He always done. Because He knew there was a greater mission ahead. That on that road to Samaria, there was somebody that needed Him. He didn't see them as a drug addict. He didn't see them as a prostitute. He didn't see them as a divorced person. He didn't see them as broken. He seen them as a child of God who needed their Father. She needed Him to be there as much as Jesus needed her to be there. But He knew where she was at. And this morning He knows where you are. He knows what circumstances in your life. He knows when you feel overwhelmed by the world. He knows your mind. He knows all things. And that's what kills me. That we stray away, do this, and I've done it myself, and sin and do all these things thinking that he don't know, but he knows all things. I can't hide nothing from him. What's done in the dark will be brought to the light. That's what the scripture says. That you can't hide from God. If you have a divine appointment with him, you can't hide from him. Because at this moment, she's walking to the well. She's thinking, man, all these old women, they've done went this morning to the well. Ain't going to be nobody at that well but me because it's so hot. It's right in the sixth hour, right in the middle of the day, the Bible says. Ain't going to be nobody there but me in that water. And she was right. Living water. He met her there. He was sitting on the well when she come. And I could see her eyes as she come around the corner and she seen the well. Who is this man? Hey man, who is this man? He is the man who can set you free. He is the man from Galilee. He's the man who wants to redeem your soul. He's the man who wants to restore everything in you. But it's on you to receive. That she's at the well now. She's encountered this Jesus. A divine appointment to restore what is broken. The same thing that he wants to do with you and me. We may think that we're holier than thou, that I can fix things myself, but you cannot. You need your Savior. You need to rest in him, acknowledge him, talk to him, and know who he is. That he's at the well for you this morning, wanting to restore you. And she gets there and says, why are you talking to me, a Samaritan woman? Why are you talking to me? Why are you doing this? Why are you talking to me? But she didn't know who he was. Because what she seen was her past. She seen her mistakes. I ain't supposed to be nobody at this well. I'm supposed to be here alone. I'm supposed to be here alone. Nobody's going to talk to me. How many people in the world today see us the same way? Ain't nobody going to talk to me. They go to church. They ain't going to talk to me. They're Christian. They ain't going to talk to me. But Jesus has called us to be just like him. And he says, woman, if you knew this water that I have, that water that's in that well, it means nothing. Guess what? That water that Jacob's got in that well, guess what? You're going to thirst again. Guess what? That water that's in that well is just a representation of the world outside these walls. That no matter how much you get filled with the world, how much you chase after the world, you're never going to be full. You're always going to be chasing, looking. That water outside these walls of the world cannot fill you. There is only one. And his name is Jesus. That he's got living water. That he can fill the broken. He can fill the cracks where the water is leaking out in your life. He can fill those things, those voids in your life. But you've got to let him. She didn't know who was standing before her. And a lot of us don't know who we serve. We don't understand who we serve. That Jesus Christ, he took the cross to share your burdens. To share life with you. In the heat of the day when it gets hot, he's there. When you feel like you can't go no more. And I'm sure Terry, man, she was packing at that water pot up the hill thinking, oh man, I'm here. Why do I got to come in the middle of the day? Why? That's so hot. Why do I see my past? Why am I so consumed with what I used to do and I don't see victory anymore? Because you're so consumed on what used to be and not who you are. That you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. That you have a purpose. You have a Savior. You have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why don't you access it? Know who you serve. You can fall asleep all you want, but it ain't going to get you nowhere. But those who are lukewarm will be spewed out of his mouth. That's the word. That's not my thoughts. That's the word. You can push him to the side all you want. You can finger point all you want. Ah, he ain't going to church. He ain't done this. That's okay. You're going to answer to you, for you and what you did in this life and what you did not do. Church, we've got to wake up. The King is coming. The King is coming. He's on the way to the well for you. It's time to wake up. Quit playing church and be the church. Yeah. Oh, man. I'm out of breath, sorry. Might spit on Lisa there, I ain't real sure. Jesus said unto her, go and get your husband and come. Go get your husband. He said, I have no husband. He said, you're right. You've had five. And the one that's in your house ain't yours either. So she encountered six men. Praise be to God on this moment. Listen to this word right here. I shared this with Ted the other day. She encountered the seventh man. The seventh man, which was Jesus Christ, the seventh man. Seven is the number of completion. Seven is completion. She couldn't be made whole until she met the seventh man. She couldn't be completed until she met the seventh man. Guess what? You can't be completed until you meet him. Until you encounter him, you're never going to be full. You're going to be chasing and chasing and chasing and chasing, looking for things to fill you up, and it's never going to fill you. Amen. You're always going to be looking. How do I know? Because that's who I was. I chased after everything outside of these walls. I chased after everything that I could get my hands on because it was about me. But praise be to God that he met me at the well. That I encountered the man from Galilee. When I come around the corner and there he was. He didn't see me from my past mistakes. He sees me as his son. He sees you today. No matter what you've done, where you've been, or how far from God that you are. Guess what? He is there. He's standing, not looking at your past. But guess what he did? He said, he called her out. pretty much called her out. Guess what he called me out? That's what sin we've got to recognize. That we can't have relationship with Jesus Christ until we get rid of the sin that's in our life. That sin has to flee at the name of Jesus. That it has to go. We can't walk with him and walk with the world at the same time. You've got to set that water pot down that holds you back. You've got to set it down. And you've got to be filled with living water. That water that only Jesus can give. That you've got to separate yourself from the world. Be filled with the Spirit. Spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. And we've got to be looking to Jesus, the founder and father of our faith. Knowing that he is good. Knowing that whatever we're going through in life, we can trust in him. Church, a lot of us don't trust in him. We see the Bible as some fairy tale, that word is not alive and breathing. That it's not truth. We think the answers and are in psychiatrists and all these things. Yes, some of those things are good. But you come to the real physician. You come to the one who's going to make you whole. You seek Jesus out. And I promise you, you'll never be the same again. That you've got to lay down the world. Get rid of it. Because it's going to destroy you. Because it did me. Not until I recognized who I was. That I was apart from God. That I had to go after Jesus. The answer is not in us, Terry. It's only in him. Only in him. Nothing good about me but him, that's for sure. Like Dave said, y'all are quiet today. What's wrong with y'all? First, to recognize that we have a great Savior, we must first recognize that we are great sinners. That I need him. I don't have all the answers. I need him. He is the answer. I can't do it in myself. And you young people, you can't do it in you. You never will. You've got to have Jesus Christ in your life. You've got to have somebody you can talk to. Because the world's going to throw you everything under the sun to make you feel good, make you feel happy, make you feel joy, make you feel peace, make you feel loved. But guess what? There's only love in one. You'll never love yourself until you truly love him. And that's what you've got to do, is love him. Because the world's going to point you down many roads that leads to destruction. There's only one road that leads to life, and that is him, Jesus Christ. He is the only way, he is the only truth, and he is the only life. There is salvation in only one, and that is him. Romans 11:3-36 says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." That he is a spirit, but he is truth. We can't confine him to one certain place. Or see, the Jews thought that he was only in the temple when the God of the universe stood before them. They didn't know who stood before him. She didn't know who stood before her at the well. But Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he came to seek and to save them which was lost. He had a purpose. He had a mission. And it was her. And it was you. that no matter how far you feel like you are away from Him, I don't feel Him like I used to. I don't read like I used to. I don't pray like I used to. I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to have fellowship with my church people. I don't like to go into church. I want to stay at home. It's all about me. All about me. All about me. Church, I was all about me for a long, long time. And I was dying from the inside out, rotting, because I wasn't at one with Him. And until we are one with Him, seeking Him, trusting Him, relying on Him through prayer, fasting. And I could tell nobody liked to prayer and fast because there wasn't nobody in my small group about prayer and fasting, Ted. I'm just kidding. But it takes prayer, fasting, reading the Word, being obedient to His voice. How do we expect? The Bible says that the Word is alive and breathing. How do we expect to know how to combat the enemy when we won't even open up the blueprint to show us how it's done? We've got to be obedient to His Word. We've got to look at His Word. We've got to take it upon ourselves. Study it out. If you don't read but two or three scriptures a week, that's fine. Study those two or three scriptures. Study them, study them, study them. Let them come onto your heart, and it'll change your life. Am I holier than thou? No, I'm not. Do I need to do work? Yes, I do. I need to get better in my walk too. But we can't do it apart from Jesus. Never will, never can. I don't care what anybody tells you, that they've got the answers to life, that there's many ways to God. That's what the world wants to tell you, but there's only one way to God, and it is through and by His Son, Jesus Christ. That if you don't have relationship with Him, you are lost and going to hell. Period. Relationship with Jesus changes everything. Everything. I'm starting to wrap up. It says, but the hour come, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father, and in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such Him. Seeketh such to worship Him. This is the moral of the story, that she wasn't seeking God, but God was seeking her. She didn't go to the well seeking the Lord. But guess what? He went to the well seeking her. Many times we're not looking for Him when He's standing right in front of our faces. That we're going through so much in life that we want to text our friend, and that's okay. We want to Google how to restore this. When the answer is sitting on your coffee table, it's got dust all over it, that you ain't picked it up in a while. People, technology's made it easy. Open up your phone, get on your phone. Guess what? Right, if you want to get on your phone, Bible app, right there it is. Right there's the Word. We can make every excuse we want. But when you stand before Him, there'll be no excuses. There'll be none. It's either in or in, or depart from me, one way or another. You can hang your head low and not want to listen or not focus. Don't push that to the back. I'm a young person. I ain't got to worry about that. But guess what? You do. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But you better know who holds that tomorrow. You better know that you're right with Him. You better know who stands before you at the well, and you acknowledge Him. That He wants to move in this church. He wants to move in our lives. John 4:26 said, Jesus said unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am He. John 6 says, I am the bread of life. John 8 says, I am the light of the world. John 7 says, I am the door. John 11 says, I am the resurrection and the life. John 10 says, I am the good shepherd. John 14 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. John 15 says that I am the true vine. Jesus is the great I am. Jesus said, verily, verily, that I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Know who you serve. That you serve the great I am. That no matter what's standing before you, He is there. He is the creator of the universe. He created you in His image, in His likeness, to have relationship with you. If I could get on my knees, and I will, please listen, that you need Jesus. We all need Him. We all need Him. If the prayer team wants to come up, I'm wrapping up. If you want to play something, Dave, that's fine. Go ahead. Jesus is the intersection between man and God. He is the intersection for you. If you're struggling, guess what? He's at the well. If you don't know what to do, guess what? He's at the well. If you don't know what tomorrow holds for you, job situation, marriages, relationships, anxiety, depression, He's at the well. He left the 99 for the one. He left for you. He left for her. He went to a place that He wasn't welcome, that He should not have been there. Everyone was telling Him that Jews don't talk to Samaritans, even a woman. But guess what? Jesus had a mission. That He had to be there for her. And guess what? He's there for you this morning, if you don't care to stand. You've carried your water pot empty for a long time. You've carried that water pot back and forth through life empty. Empty. Trying to fill it with things, and it just seemed to stay empty. That water pot represents you. We are broken. We are empty. And we're trying to fill it with everything but Him. And this morning He wants to fill somebody up with the living water. He wants to restore you. But you've got to get out the way. You've got to step out in obedience and come up here. There's people here to pray with you. There's freedom at the altar. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 30 years. We go through things. And that's okay. That's okay. Come and let your brother or your sister or whoever pray with you.
Don't think that you're too big that you don't need to talk with God. Because guess what? The gospel is not about you. But it's our relationship with Him. And until you get out of the way, you're not going to be full. You're not going to feel loved. You're not going to feel wanted. You're not going to have peace. You're not going to have joy. You're not going to have that love that passes all understanding. You're not going to have those things until you've been filled with Him. And that's who the woman at the well, she's seen her past. She's seen her mistakes. She's seen everything that she'd ever done. But what'd she do after Jesus filled her up? He gave her living water. Guess what? She went back to tell everyone in the community, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about the man who told me everything that I've done, but he still loved me anyway. Jesus sees everything, but guess what? He still loves you today. He still wants to have a relationship with you today. But are you going to be obedient? With all eyes closed, heads bowed. If you need to come pray, come pray. It's about Him, not you. Come to the well. Come on to the well. Restore what's been broken. Come on. Don't fight it no more. Come on. You can sit in your seat and cry, but come on up here and acknowledge Him. Step out in obedience. Honor His voice. He's talking to you this morning. Please come. Please come. As Dave turns it up just a little bit, let's stand here and worship just for a little bit. Focus on Him. If you need to come, please come.